keeping that communication open. I think as parents, that's the best thing that we can do, and be vulnerable with ourselves too, and share age appropriately that, hey, this is what happened and it didn't work for me, but look at where this led me. Or what do you think about that? And be in that conversation with your kids and celebrate the strengths in those messes.
Welcome to the Beautifully Complex podcast, where I share insights and strategies on parenting neurodivergent kids straight from the trenches. I'm your host, Penny Williams. I'm a parenting coach, author, and mindset mama, honored to guide you on the journey of raising your atypical kid. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. I am joined by Sherry Lead today, and we're going to talk about perfection and things that are better to be striving for than perfection. And I'm sure we'll talk too about why that is important, why a drive for perfection that I think we get from our culture and our society isn't really serving us in the best way possible. But first, Sherry, will you just let everybody know who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, it's the perfect topic because my business name is An Imperfectly Perfect Life. I am a life coach. I'm also an author. I've published 3 books sort of on friendship, and I'm a mother to 2 adult children, young adults, one who is 22 and one who will soon be 24, who also happens to be neurodivergent with ADHD. So I'm right there in the mix with your listeners, and I really do understand, not just from an intellectual level, but just from a personal level of being a mom and navigating motherhood and being able to learn to focus on the progress as opposed to the end goal of something like perfection, which is basically impossible.
Mm-hmm. And what we talk so often about, and I think what I learned in my own parenting, was that I really had to focus on progress. Even if I had goals that were at some point attainable, I really needed to focus more in the here and now and just making improvement. Because if I tried to focus on those big goals that required a lot of skill building, a lot of change, then I felt really ineffectual, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like I wasn't making progress when actually I was. And so I talk a lot with parents about, you know, let's look at just what is going on right in the here and now, and let's really notice when we're moving forward.
Yes.
And celebrate that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And even, you know, when we take this out of the neurodivergent realm and just talk about us as people and adults, the end goal of success, goals, everything, that really isn't where the sweet spot is. The sweet spot really isn't that journey.
Yeah.
And what we're learning throughout that entire journey, we miss the journey and all the little sweet spots if we focus on the end goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it takes a lot of sort of awareness on our part, I think, because of those cultural norms. You know, we're taught to keep striving for more and better, you know, hustle culture, which drives me insane. Because I want to enjoy my days and my life. I don't want to always be hustling for more, more, more. Like, if we're never satisfied, then what happens?
Right.
There's consequences to that, right?
Right. You know, our kids, they're savvy. They have, you know, these smartphones now, and they know where they stand. And if they're at a traditional school where there's a lot of testing and that's how they're being gauged, I mean, they're getting so much of that from every external factor. So we as parents, if we can be aware that we can model imperfection to our kids and model the embracing of imperfection, one thing that I think is really great, because we want to raise our kids with confidence. And it becomes very hard when our kids do struggle in school, or they may be a little different than the other kids. And I think of confidence as meaning that you can figure anything out.
Right.
And if we're able to show our kids through our actions that we're imperfect and, hey, look, this happened, but this is how I figured it out, and mirror that and ask our kids too, what happened? Well, what did you do? Mm-hmm. How did you figure that out? because a lot of times our children's paths aren't going to be the same as maybe the kid next door. And to build that confidence in their imperfection, I think we have this sweet spot that can actually celebrate the differences.
Mm-hmm. We have a manifesto of the neurodiverse family, and one of the tenets on there is that we are all beautifully complex and marvelously imperfect. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why we included it, is because we're not going to have that perfect idea of parenting, right? That perfect idea of what childhood might look like. We have to embrace that being different is okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I even named the podcast off of part of that because I feel like it's so important, you know, and you've leaned into that in your work as well, mm-hmm. that we really are all imperfect.
Yes.
And there's relief that comes from accepting that. There's a lot of relief there, I think.
Absolutely. And what I love to also bring up is that, you know, the word weird, the root of it is spelled W-Y-R-D, weird. You know, I've heard it's English-based or German-based, but it's W-Y-R-D is the root. And that means destiny or fate.
Interesting.
And so when we're able to embrace our weirdness, our uniqueness, we're embracing our destiny and fate. And what I like to point out to a lot of my clients that I coach, adults, when you look at the people that you admire, right, these stars, if we're talking about younger people, maybe it's someone like Taylor Swift or some of the, you know, the pop stars,
right.
Selena Gomez, whoever it is. When you look at them, there's something very unique about them that they've embraced. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes them interesting. And so I love that, you know, you embrace that idea of weird, meaning, you know, the root, your fate or your destiny, things happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could call that imperfection, but I call that uniqueness.
I love that.
And the world starts to open up to you when you can embrace that.
Yeah. We need to start treating people like individuals, mm-hmm. instead of trying to make everybody fit in the same box. And it's hard. It's hard to make that change as a culture, certainly. And I think that's why mm-hmm. a lot of our neurodivergent kids are struggling in school and mm-hmm. in other areas, because they're still expected to behave in neurotypical ways. Mm-hmm. But also for us as parents to be able to step out of the norm and feel okay with it mm-hmm. is a journey. Like, it took me years of really focusing on that to be able to reach that level of acceptance and sort of peace, honestly, with
yes.
the way things are. And I think that really helped me to show my kid that it was going to be okay. So instead of focusing all on ADHD, school, like all the things that yeah. were not going well, which is what I was doing all the time, I learned.
I was doing the same thing.
yeah, to shift that, but it takes work. You know, when I talk about this, when I do webinars and stuff, people are always like, it's not that easy. I'm like, no, it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. It took a long time and a lot of effort. And I still catch myself, you know, I still have to be really mindful. But I think it's possible for everyone mm-hmm. to be able to accept uniqueness and differences and look more from a strengths-based approach. But you have to have the tools and the skills, right? And I'm hoping that we can share some of those here.
Yeah, that's why I really love your podcast, because when I was raising my, you know, my daughter, I didn't have podcasts. This is pre-podcast, probably your kids too.
Yeah.
And so you'd feel very lonely as a parent, mm-hmm. you know, like you're failing in all sorts of ways. And I came to the point where I realized that when I start to feel angst about behavior or something that wasn't working, and as you were saying, you know, trying to get somebody up to par, which, and the strengths, then when you're doing that, the strengths fall away because you're too busy working on the weaknesses, and that's not going to help anything.
Yeah.
I realized when I was getting that angst, it was because I had in my mind what a journey should look like,
yep.
what success should look like, and how to get there safely. And finally realizing that my idea of a journey worked for me, but that's not the same for either my daughter or someone else. And once I was able to remove myself from that and detach from, you know, making it my journey, which it really isn't, mm-hmm. and I don't, you know, we don't own our kids, it became a lot easier. And yeah. I was able to finally see the beauty in this different type of way of doing things and this different journey. And that actually a lot of people succeed and do things their own way on their own timing that is quite remarkable, actually, compared to my checklist life that I had.
Right, right. Yeah. It's a different world now, you know, and so our kids are going through different things. So even from that perspective, understanding what they're going through day to day, I don't feel like I understand it. As with you, we didn't have smartphones in high school. Yeah. We didn't have people taking video and pictures of everything we did and said.
Thank goodness.
And publicizing it. I know, right? And so there's so much to our kids' journey, I think, that we just don't get on a cellular level. We try to understand it. We try to be open-minded. But there's so many ways that we can show them that we are working really hard to get it and try to really make them feel like they're seen and heard and understood. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes a long way to helping them be more comfortable with who they are and also to finding that path that's really going to come to their version of success, their version of happiness. Mm-hmm. And it just takes so much work from us, right? To be able to get to that place where we can, I think, be the most helpful for them.
Yeah. And I had mentioned before we started recording that last year I had this opportunity to travel to all 50 states and share a meal with a woman I didn't know in every state.
So amazing.
And as I was traveling and meeting these people, I started to think, you know, what is it that I meet somebody and I just naturally vibe and our conversation flowed so well versus someone else where the conversation was fine, but maybe we weren't vibing quite as well. And really what it came down to is vulnerability and embracing imperfection. And I noticed when somebody on the other side, when we were sharing our imperfect moments of our life, that's really when we came together and bonded. And, you know, when we're able to, again, share this with our children. I mean, that's the best thing I think that, you know, in this realm we can do as parents is share with them that we aren't perfect.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that we're losing our authority and we're not right most of the time.
Right.
But sharing with them, hey, you know, this is what I had planned and it didn't work. And this is how I figured it out. What would you do? Or, you know, if they're old enough to have that discussion or when they didn't come through, you know, a lot of times executive functioning, right? A big issue. And time and time again, maybe it doesn't work over and over. Hey, well, you did get to school. Or you did. What did you do? How did you figure that out? That wasn't perfect the way it went. What could you do better? You know, well, I messed up too. I yelled and I shouldn't have. I should have done, you know, X, Y, and Z. But the more we could mirror and talk about these imperfect moments and build confidence by showing them that they can figure it out. And no matter what happens, they can figure it out. And we still parent and teach them easier ways and try to get places on time and things done.
Yeah.
But giving them that confidence so they don't always feel like they're failing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a hard lesson for me to learn, like, if you step in all the time, if you try to protect them all the time, they sort of internalize that we don't think they were capable. Right?
Yeah.
And they also don't learn grit and resilience and all these things. I talk a lot about being real with our kids because we can set this unrealistic standard, right? And I remember like my childhood, I had a lot of expectations around grades and things like that in school. And I was able to fulfill that. You know, I had the skills and the intelligence to be able to most of the time meet those expectations, but sometimes it was really hard. And sometimes I didn't meet those expectations and then I was grounded and I got in trouble, right? And then I remember distinctly helping my grandmother move and finding my dad's old report cards with D's and F's on some of them. And I went, all that time you made me feel like I, you know, had to reach this perfect standards of A's and never knew that he messed up sometimes as a kid too. And he didn't always get the best grades, right?
Yeah.
And I felt betrayed a little bit, honestly, right?
Oh, yeah.
I felt betrayed.
I could just imagine. I could just picture that shock.
I'm like, oh my gosh, those three C's I had my whole life and I was grounded every time and you had worse grades than that, you know, but it was this traditional parenting that was all he knew, first of all, right? He did the best that he knew.
Yeah.
And it was the way that, you know, they were raised, and he really wanted the best for us. And that's where it came from. He wanted us to reach our potential, right?
Right, right.
I just remember that. And I call back on that so often in my own parenting. Like, remember how you felt when you realized that your parent wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
And you could measure up, but you didn't know it, right? And that's where I think just being so realistic with our kids, open about mistakes, is so important.
Yeah, teaching our kids, you know, I talk a lot about friendships. I know that's not what we're talking about today, but in that vein, I tell parents, you know, we work so hard to teach our kids how to make friends and how to socialize. And we spent hours making these amazing play days, but we don't teach our kids how to end friendships, which is a natural part of life. And I think in that same vein, we teach our kids how to succeed, how to get to places on time, how to, you know, turn in your assignment on time, do X, Y, and Z and get this grade. We don't teach our kids how to, quote unquote, fail. And there's an art to failing, and there's a value to failure, embracing the imperfect.
Yeah.
That I think is beautiful if we can get there.
Yeah, I used to rail so hard against that idea of letting your kids fail. I was so against it. I thought it was so awful. Why would you do that? You know, because I was that protective helicopter parent for a long time. I thought that was doing my best for my kids, and I had to realize that wasn't, because they weren't learning to be independent. They weren't learning any grit and resilience. They weren't even learning that they could do hard things, right? And get through that. And so, yeah, 100% on board with what you're talking about. I find sometimes my young adult kid will tell me that I'm oversharing, but I'm like, no, I want you to know.
I'm an oversharer, so you're in good company.
I want you to know how not perfect I am, okay? I need you to know that sometimes things don't go right, right? And and it happens to all of us. And I've just, I guess because I was on the wrong side of that for so long, I'm like really swinging the pendulum heavily toward your mom is not perfect. Nobody is perfect.
Yeah.
But what can people do? What can parents do as adults to help to embrace this idea? Like, we're talking about it. We've done that work. What does that work look like? What can people do after listening to this to start to really embrace the progress instead of those end goals?
I think a lot of it is reflecting and teaching your kids to take the time to reflect. It involves, you know, detaching from the situation a lot of times for parents.
Yeah.
Not meaning that you don't care, but detaching, I guess, from the outcome, being attached to the outcome. And if you're more structural and your kids are younger, maybe it's a great idea to have a once a week check-in saying, hey, what didn't go so well for us this week? You know, what did we learn from that? What are the opportunities? Because I'm of the big belief that our messes, our mistakes, sometimes are the things that lead us to our greatest opportunities. And these kids are creative. I mean, our kids are survivors. Yeah. They're creative. They are always thinking about how to make something work for them. And a lot of times they won't vocalize how they've figured it out and what they're thinking to make things work. But to have these regular conversations, you know, and keeping that communication open, I think as parents, that's the best thing that we can do. And be vulnerable with ourselves too, and share age appropriately that, hey, this is what happened and it didn't work for me, but look at where this led me.
Yeah.
Or what do you think about that? And be in that conversation with your kids and celebrate, again, you pointed out earlier, the strengths, you know, in those messes. What happened? What went wrong? Where was the opportunity to say, wow, that's a great strength that you actually still, you know, managed to get there on time. You know, yeah, your hair wasn't that great when you got there, but you got there.
But it's progress. Yep.
It is. It is progress.
I think a lot of times we do those little activities with our kids, but we don't participate. So we're asking them to self-reflect. What was, you know, a great thing today and a not so great thing today? But we should be participating in that too. We need to be modeling that, right? We need to show them that we also have highs and lows in our day-to-day as well.
And it gives us grace, because a lot of times, especially as moms or parents, when we're right in the heart things and we are, you know, we're trying to make sure we're showing up with other parents around and we have eyes on us too, it gives us some grace if we also are able to take that moment and go, oh, messed up there, but you know what?
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt. You know, it was okay. I made a bigger deal of it than it was. It was okay. And it also allows us to go, okay, what's the easiest thing we could do here? Because we get so caught up, we forget that, okay, let it be simple. That's why I like to say too, is when things get so crazy for us that we're looking at these goals and we're trying to get there and we don't know how to get there. And we have, you know, to satisfy this person, that person, this thing, taking a moment to pause and go, okay, let it be simple. What is the easiest thing I can do here?
I love that.
And we could say that to our kids. Okay, let's let this be simple. What's the easiest thing you could do right now?
How do we simplify this situation? Wow, I wish I had known to ask that.
There's always one step that can make it a little bit easier.
That's great. Yeah. A lot of the journey for me in my own mindset shift was looking at a lot of Buddhist principles, honestly. And I don't practice Buddhism. It's not my religion.
Yeah.
But there's so much acceptance within those principles. And, you know, I was able to use a lot of them as my own compass or my own affirmations. You know, one of my favorites is what is, because for me, I have a lot of anxiety and I was very worried about my kids today, but also in the future. Right. And so I had to be able to get comfortable with whatever was happening instead of fighting it. And so for me, that was really helpful to have sort of this grounding statement almost. And I would just repeat that in my head when things were hard, right? But that helped me look at the simple fact of what was going on, right? Okay, this is what is happening. This is the card we've been dealt today. What can we do with it? And that takes away all that extra worry and stress and minutiae.
Yeah. And good point about looking at the future. I did that a lot too. And how ridiculous is that, right? Can we predict the future? We can't. And we get so caught up on if this doesn't happen, you know, my child's not going to succeed 20 years from now or whatever it is. You know, it's like, it's completely ridiculous because we cannot predict the future. So that is such a good point, right? Let it be simple. When I did my travel, you mentioned Buddhism. When I did my travels, there's a woman I met in Paterson, New Jersey, and I later found out it was a Buddhist principle that she shared with me. And I was having some angst that I didn't speak up maybe when I should have. And I shared this with her, and she said, you know, it's because the person wasn't ready to learn. When someone's ready, when the student's ready, the teacher will come. And it's something I've been thinking about since meeting with her. And I think that's true with the way we parent. If we're thinking about the future and we're trying to get everything in place and make sure that this person knows that, and we speak up here and we talk to this teacher and we talk to this parent, that sometimes isn't our job. And if we let it be easy and just live in the present for the most part, I mean, obviously we're planners, but if we're able to live in the present, then we're able to see the opportunities that are available to us in the present.
Yeah, we talk a lot about how you can't change a mind that isn't open to being changed.
Oh yeah, that's the same thing, right?
And that kind of reminded me of it. Yeah, so, you know, if you're struggling with other family members who think you're just not punishing enough or whatever, you know, this happens to so many of our parents. And they always ask me, what do I do? How do I navigate the situation? And the reality is that if people are not open to thinking about something in a different way, doesn't matter what you say or do, they have to be ready. And, you know, in my own coaching, I've had meeting with parents where I gave them the information from my perspective of what was needed, and they just weren't ready to hear it yet, right? And I just have to remind myself, it's not about me, and it's not about even the parent that they are. It's just that they're not in that place yet. I've told this story probably before on the podcast, but when my son was in third grade, we were in an IEP meeting and I just kept calling them over and over because things weren't changing and getting better. And I was like, okay, if you're not going to listen to me, we're going to keep sitting in a room together.
Yeah.
And his teacher looked at me and said, you know, you just have to accept that your kid's always going to struggle. And I thought she was the most horrible person in the world. I literally got up bawling and left the meeting. I couldn't handle it. And I just wasn't ready to hear it, because years later, I was like, wow, there was so much wisdom in that.
Yeah.
I wasn't in that place yet. I couldn't accept it. I couldn't process it. I just wasn't there yet.
Right.
And I think that's a good illustration of what you're talking about, is that sometimes people just aren't in that place yet, even as much as we want them to be, our kids included. Mm-hmm. You know, it's their timeline, not our timeline.
Exactly. Now, that's such a good reminder. And I love, too, that you heard it then. You weren't ready, but it resonated with mm-hmm. you.
Oh, it stuck.
And yeah. You know, so we never know what we say. And it may come up years later where somebody goes, that's what their experience was.
Yeah. And I've had that experience with my kids a few times now that they're in their 20s. There are times where they'll bring something up and I'm like, wow, you know, that was years ago. I said that to you. You really heard me. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like you heard me. Right. But yeah, things stick. So yeah. What other advice would you like to give the parents who are listening, or the educators even who are listening, about really embracing the here and now and the progress?
I think, you know, the big thing is, one, celebrating the uniqueness, the strength of your kids. If you're a parent or an educator, you are in such a unique position to shape this child who has all of this stuff coming at them. And a lot of times our kids, I think, when they are neurodivergent and they have anxiety, and it appears that they shut down and they're not taking it in, but it's because they've heard it time and time again when they have not been coming up to par. Mm-hmm. So I really think it's time to celebrate, one, celebrate their strengths, two, let it be easy and share that with them. Let it be easy. Three, confidence, building their confidence mm-hmm. with this imperfection. Confidence meaning that no matter what comes your way, you can handle it. I believe you can handle it. Yes, these are things we need to do. And we didn't do it so smoothly this time, but I know we can figure this out. And I know you can handle mm-hmm. it. And focusing on that journey. Because just like we as parents get overwhelmed when we look at those goals, man, I can only imagine what it must be like to know you're neurodivergent, know that you have all these pressures on you, and these goals, and seeing your parents too freaking out. I can't actually, you know, we know our kids, but I can't imagine being in that position. So man, if we can give them that piece of confidence, I mean, it's kind of like the teacher told you, your kid will always struggle, or it might be always harder for your child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be true, you know, but if they have that confidence, knowing that it's no matter what, they will figure it out, that can take them a long way. And they could do it without being perfect.
Yeah. And just permission not to do it perfectly, but also permission for that journey to look different for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because culturally we're so like, get in this box, follow the leader, do everything I say when I say it. You know, it's all about control almost and sameness. Mm-hmm. So I think part of our job as parents is giving them that permission, and ourselves that permission, to just do it differently. And the most wonderful stuff comes, I think, when we step outside those lines.
Yeah. And when they're going to compare themselves to other people, show them that those comparisons are, you know, if they want to compare themselves to pop stars or, you know, whoever's out there, sure. But show them that that person's that way, or they have a following because they embrace their uniqueness.
Yeah.
You know, and or the other person, maybe even a classmate, what's unique about them? And that might be a little bit more difficult. But if you start pointing out the uniqueness of the people that they look up to, or show them others that are unique, kids are doing things that's their age, those are the types of comparisons that, you know, you could kind of steer them towards. It's human nature to compare ourselves to others, mm-hmm. but we could do it in a little bit of a healthier way. And we could show our kids how to do that.
I love just sort of teaching them to have a lens for uniqueness, to be looking for that uniqueness in others.
And that weird. I love that weird thing, being fate or destiny, W-Y-R-D.
Oh, it's so good. It reminded me, too, as you were just talking about, I think it's a Japanese maybe proverb or something, or just an idea where they fill the cracks in vases and things with gold.
Oh, yeah.
And so they actually stand out the imperfections instead of trying to hide them and repair them.
Yes.
And I've really leaned into that over the years, too, of just, you know, thinking that there is beauty in things being different, things going a little bit messier, or just embracing what is
yeah.
can bring so much more to us than trying to just fit and be like everyone else.
Yeah. And it's so much easier to be ourselves.
Yeah. It has been so lovely to talk to you, Sherry. And I really appreciate everything that you've shared, some of yourself and your story and your time. I know that it's going to make a difference for those who are listening. And I want to make sure that they know how to connect with you more, learn with you more. So everything will be linked up in the show notes for this episode. So you can go there and get Sherry's website, I'm sure social media, all of that good stuff. And that can be accessed at parentingadhdandautism.com/260 for episode 260. And I really hope that you will take advantage of the work that Sherry is doing and grow yourself, right? Because that's what it's about. Us, the parents, we have to grow
yeah.
to help our kids grow as well. Thank you again. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you and the work that you're doing. I wish you were around so I could listen. I would be able to have listened to you on my drives everywhere when my kids were growing up.
That's exactly why I'm doing it, because yeah. it wasn't available for us, right? And somebody needs to do it for sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. I'll see everybody on the next episode. Take good care.
Thanks for joining me on the Beautifully Complex podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share. And don't forget to check out my online courses and parent coaching at parentingadhdandautism.com and at thebehaviorrevolution.com.